gonna make this garden go. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain come tumbling.
Welcome to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey and our host, Shar Shar. How does your garden grow?
Getting fall looking.
Everything is fall looking and fall feeling.
Yes.
It really is. Well, before we get on with our topic today, which is evergreens and evergreen pests, we just wanted to bring you up to date on a couple of things that have happened and things that we have heard about from some of our wonderful listeners. And we thank you for listening on KDWA. And if you follow us every Wednesday, you can also find the entire show at kdwa.com and also more information on our Facebook page. All right, before we get going, I wanted to mention something that has been brought to my attention, and that is there is a seemingly wonderful second resurgence of blooming plants and even spring and summer plants that are starting over again. Wow. And I don't know if that's typical. I know, Shar, you said you've had experience with that in the past.
Yes.
I have green onions. I have some of my lilies coming up again. And everything looks wonderful, probably because there's less heat stress. And if we're still watering or having dew in the morning, it has been fairly dry, though. So hopefully you're keeping up with your watering. That's really important until it freezes. But since we got a freeze warning with actually no freeze, we've had just a wonderful opportunity to have maybe a second summer and enjoy some of those plants a little bit longer. And we did receive a message from one of our listeners in Ellsworth. Colleen sent a beautiful picture of a huge bouquet of white lilacs in the fall. Now, I don't know how many people are having that experience, but I know, Shar, you had that experience as well.
Yes, last year we had a purple, the standard purple lilac come again. I have not checked that same bush this year, but it all has to do with sufficient moisture in the ground. You'll notice that the lawns really haven't browned up like some Augusts and Septembers, so there has been sufficient moisture. Everything just seems the stars align.
It really has. Unfortunately, though, we do have something bad to report, and that is people have contacted both me and Shar trying to find out what is going on with the lilacs, and it unfortunately is blight.
Yes, and there's really nothing you can do about blight. It will not kill the plant itself. It's just conditions, whether for lilacs, for instance, there may have been something in this season, this summer season, that just wasn't working. And it can be like a spread, you know, from plant to plant. So it's just conditions were super conducive for a blight in lilacs. It actually looks like they've been sprayed in some cases.
Should people be trimming them or not?
I would say no in this case. Wait to see what next spring develops. If there was, for some reason, extraordinary damage to the plant, then you may have to do your trimming next season. But don't give up on them. Wait to see what next spring brings.
Well, let's hope next spring brings good news. All right, let's continue on then with our discussion of evergreens. So many people have them, and as we come into the holiday season, people are really focusing on them, both in your yard and possibly in your living room.
Right.
So let us find out what we should be doing to preserve those wonderful specimens.
Exactly. And I'm going to focus on their pests and diseases, not so much the growing or the planting of them, but focusing on the pests and diseases. And we're going to start with the creepy crawlies, the worms and bugs. There's something called bagworms. And if you ever see a bundle of egg sacs on trees, sometimes you'll see them on deciduous trees, but they also go for evergreens as well. And the caterpillars will emerge from these sacs in May or June, and they feed on a wide range of evergreens. So I'm not going to get specific varieties here. But their favorite is arborvitaes. and red cedars, the arborvitaes especially. So come September, those caterpillars turn into moths, and then the whole cycle starts again. And the egg sacs can winter over in some cases, perish the thought. Borers, B-O-R-E-R, borers that bore into the wood, actually. The range of damage can be various. It can relate to the health and the vitality of the tree. There's six kinds of borers, and they all tunnel through the bark, and they cause the tree to drip sawdust and sap. And they leave hundreds of holes in the bark. And it actually looks like woodpeckers, which we're going to talk about in a minute or two. But the depth of these borers can be up to 3/8 of an inch. So if the damage is serious enough, it can cause the tree to die. And evergreens are really susceptible to borers. Insecticides are recommended rather than anything applied at the ground level. I'm assuming they winter in the ground, but it isn't as effective to treat them that way. Sucking insects called lace bugs also prey on conifers and broadleafed evergreens. They're tiny, they're very hard to spot, and they're usually on the underside of like a, I want to say an arborvitae is more of a broadleafed evergreen. And they can even go into the rhododendron family of shrubs and hydrangeas also. If it seems, and I don't know why, but anything planted in full sun is more vulnerable to these sucking insects or lace bugs. So you can try applying chemical insecticides in May or June, because that's when the young lace bugs are called nymphs, and you'll do more effective eradication of them when they're just at the hatching stage. Spider mites, they also do the sucking type thing. They're more related to spiders, obviously, hence the name. And now they are more cool weather insects, and they're devastating to the Christmas tree industry. They're really, really bad. They can attack the spruce mite, for instance, can attack 40 types of spruce, of evergreens rather. So there's no doubt why the spruce mite is the most destructive mite in the U.S. and Canada. Now, I couldn't find any reasonable chemical deterrents for them, but they have tried to use the lady beetles, or what we used to call ladybugs, not Asian beetles, but the lady beetles, because they do attack those spider mites. So scale. Now, scale is a sucking type insect also. If you've ever spotted sort of like a cottony substance or a waxy deposit on your evergreens, it's a good chance that your tree has scale problems. And like I say, it's a sucking insect, and it's especially hard on spruce and fir. There's also 14 types of evergreens that they could go after. And the discouraging thing is, as far as evergreens go, on a large scale, if you have a large stand of them, there isn't any good method to fight scale. There's some kind of horticultural oil you could use, say if you just had one evergreen that you want to protect, but it would really be expensive to do that to a stand of evergreens. It can't be cheap. Now, in the disease area, cedar apple rust. Now, it's like a disease. It's really not so much anything to do with the insects. It's a fungi that spreads, and it goes back and forth between apple trees and cedars, or hawthorns even. And it usually can be eliminated if you don't plant your apple trees or apple orchard too close to any type of red cedar. If you've ever seen kind of a yellow or orange gelatinous material on cedars, that's where this fungi kind of harbors itself in. And so that is what can spread. It can be airborne. So if you even plant it miles away, you might not be effective, treating that.
Char, in general, do people plant things way too closely for them to have adequate aeration and ventilation, which causes some of this distress?
Really, it does. And you just have to know what's in your neighborhood. For instance, if you're in a close community of houses, you have to know actually what your neighbor has got in their yard as well. So you're right. You're just planting things just too closely to these hosts that have these particular fungi on them. Now, the cedars themselves aren't affected, but it's what they do with a nearby apple tree. You might want to check with an arborist, see what your options are, if there's anything you can do. Certain apple species have actually been hybridized to be less susceptible to them. So you might want to look at your type of apple tree that you are considering planting. So, you know, there's things to do to look out for. Now, I also want to mention our flying birds that we love so dearly, and we like to see them come to our suet feeders, the woodpecker. There's a couple of varieties, the downy and the hairy, and I have received the benefit of a pileated woodpecker, those foot-long, tall woodpeckers.
We have a pair.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now, they're all protected, of course. It's a protected bird. But, oh, they can do just as much damage as some of the insects that I just talked about. They love the sap of the evergreen and the worms and bugs that are underneath the bark. So they're actually going there for a twofold meal, the sap and the bark. But they can actually make a ring around your tree, and it's just devastating, and it can cause the death of a lot of trees. I know my sister in the Pine City area, they actually have to protect theirs with some type, it's a small tree, but they protect it with some type of like poultry netting with the open holes just to keep the woodpeckers out. You can distract the woodpecker from going to those trees by having plenty of suet feeders, but in my case, I found that they go to the evergreens anyway. So either don't let your suet feeder ever go empty, I don't know, but other than putting something around, a protective metal coating around the bark of an evergreen tree, there really isn't anything to do. And the thing of it is, when they get that ring going around the tree, that's what's deadly. If you see the ring of holes going all the way around the
tree. They're just chasing those bugs.
Yeah, they're chasing those bugs, and it is going to cause the death of the tree because they just keep going around. And once you get that complete circle around the trunk of the tree, that's what will cause the death of a tree. And you'll see the sap just leaking right out. You just touch it, and it's full of sticky stuff. Some people even go so far as to get like an electronic repellent, you know, those things that set off a little type of an alarm or a buzz that the birds don't care for. Or you could try a plastic owl or a plastic hawk, one of those things, and put on a post real close, you know, if you have a precious evergreen that you don't want to lose. So
it doesn't only happen to trees, because I have cedar on the outside of my home, and
oh,
I have
no.
lots of woodpecker holes that I'm constantly having to put
really?
The wood filler in. Yes, and they are just voracious. So we have lots and lots of trees, but they're not satisfied with that. And no matter, we have a cat. They don't care. They just look at him through the window, and they peck on the outside of our home.
So in your case, the plastic owl or hawk probably wouldn't deter them either.
Unfortunately,
those
not
stinkers. Oh, the other thing is, if you, like you said, you had a pair of the pileated, but on the smaller woodpeckers, you could provide like a woodpecker house. If they are pecking at the evergreen bark, you know, they do make their nest with their beaks also. So you might want to provide whatever type of woodpecker house that they like to go into. I'm not quite sure if it would look like a fake log or something, but maybe the best thing is just to hope that they don't go in your area. I don't know.
Well, I've also noticed they do a lot of damage to telephone poles and
oh,
other
yes.
wood poles. And
oh,
you'll look
yes.
way, way up, 40, 50 feet, and here are these huge holes. Well, with those, I don't understand, because there can't be anything inside those.
To eat.
Most of them are treated with creosote,
right, creosote,
and I can't imagine why they would want to burrow into them. But there they are, and I don't know if maybe they're making homes in those giant telephone poles. I don't know what they're doing, but they sure cause a lot of damage.
Right. And then don't forget, when you see the woodpecker damage to a tree, you know that insects are also going to go in those very holes that the woodpecker has made for them. So if it's a precious evergreen or whatever, you're going to need to address those holes or to do some type of repair work on them. You can actually apply a type of paste. I don't know what the product is, but if there's just a start, not multitude of holes, you could put some type of paste that would not be toxic to the bark of the tree, just to fill them so that the insects wouldn't burrow in there further and make the whole matter, you know, terrible. So, but yes, that's another thing to look for is woodpecker damage. In addition to the bugs and the scale, you have your work cut out for you. We'll be talking a little bit about evergreens in a future edition on In the Garden. But
we sure will. And, you know, each edition of In the Garden is our attempt to try to bring things to you that you may not know of. Some of our listeners know a lot about gardening and a lot about the things in their yard and in the natural sources. And so we hope that we're maybe providing a little bit of confirmation on some of those topics. Mm-hmm. But if there's a topic that you would like to see between now and the end of the year, please send it to KDWA. They would love to hear from you, and we would love to feature it on one of our Wednesday programs. Right. All right. Now, before we go, I just want to mention that, you know, in doing this, we have just learned so much, and we've had so many great responses from our listeners. And I just wanted to say, we used to have a gentleman who would call in regularly about his aloe plants, and his name was Jerry. Yes. And Jerry has passed, and I just wanted to let you know that he brought such a wealth of information. Yes. He would call, and he would say, you know, I have these aloe, and this is the way you should do this, and people might not know this. And I was just so glad to be able to provide tips from him. And a lot of people have a lot of great information, and we are always happy to share.
Oh, yes.
If you have pictures from this wonderful, unpredictable, wacky summer that you would like to share, yes, send them to KDWA, and we would like to feature those on our Facebook page. I think in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be providing just a wide variety of those photos, so watch for those on our Facebook page. And as we get later into our season, we would just like to remind you, too, some of our topics are going to be planning for spring. And planning is a big part of
Absolutely.
Gardening. And as I mentioned in one of our earlier shows, fall kind of gets me down because I would like to be able to garden all year round and be able to go out into the garden in the morning and have something to look at, something to harvest. And there's not so much of that in Minnesota,
right?
But I think if we can bring some of that into the home, and I'm trying to figure out which of my plants are going to be deserving of being brought in this year, but share a plant with a friend, share a
yes.
gardening tip, maybe form a neighborhood garden club and find out what you have in those other backyards.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think that would be wonderful. So community is all about gardening, and
yes.
we are doing what we can to enliven that with you. And we are just so happy to be able to bring to you In the Garden every week on Wednesday. All right. Until next time, Char, thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
That's In the Garden for today. Remember to tune in for our next program with host Char Char. We'll bring you a full season of information on all things green and growing. From foliage to flowers, veggies to patio planters, we'll share our love for gardening thanks to these fine sponsors.